Without further ado, Chodesh Tov to everyone. And this is not the Rosh Chodesh Shmuz, this is the Parshas Pekudei Shmuz. And it's not really Parshas Pekudei Shmuz, it's really just a Shmuz coming from me. This is something I've been thinking about now for quite a while. But first, I'm still excited about Torah Bowl, you know, Bereshus Rabbi Goldman. Does anyone know? You, Gary? Anyone know? In the Major League Baseball in 1927, who had the most home runs?
Babe Ruth.
You didn't raise your hand. Yes, Babe Ruth. What other category did Babe Ruth lead? Strikeouts. All right, yeah?
60 home runs and 89 strikeouts.
60 home runs and 89 strikeouts. Babe Ruth led the league in home runs. Babe Ruth also led the league in strikeouts. And we have a shmua from the great Bambino. Babe Ruth told us to never let the fear of striking out keep you from playing the game. Babe Ruth was aiming for a home run. He wanted to succeed to the best possible way. He wanted to hit it out of the park. But in order to do that, he had to try really hard. And trying really hard sometimes meant totally failing and striking out. And yet we remember him. So maybe it's a terrible strategy. But I don't know, he won his games. But I wonder if sometimes we're afraid to fail. If sometimes we're too afraid to really step up to the plate. Before I explain really why, although everyone seems to already know, we see in our parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to stand up the Mishkan. For the past five parshas, we've been building the Mishkan. Everyone's bringing everything together. B'nai Yisrael donated. There's a lot of excitement. And at the final moment, Moshe is going to, his only role in the Mishkan, he's going to actually make all of these kelim stand up. He's going to build the Mishkan mamish. And what happens? Day one, he's ready to build it. He's ready to stand it up. And it falls down. Day two, he tries standing it up and it falls down. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days in a row, Moshe Rabbeinu tries to build the Mishkan, and each and every day he fails. Only on the 8th day is Moshe successful in actually making the Mishkan stand and remain standing. My Rebbe Chaim Eisenstein points out that Moshe Rabbeinu, in front of all of Bnei Israel, had to fail. And I think that we're often afraid of failing. Which brings me to a topic that everyone knows I'm going to talk about anyway. Cheating. Now, cheating, I'm not saying that this is an issue in our institution. It's an issue in every institution. It's an issue in schools. It's an issue in workplaces. It's an issue all over the world in almost every area you can imagine. Sports is an expression of who is more athletic, who is more talented, and yet you'll see athletes cheating, which is the most absurd concept. Because I know that if I cheat in order to be better than you at basketball, I'm not really better than you at basketball. We see cheating all the time, and I'm not trying to convince anyone here not to cheat. We know the halakos about it. We know the hashkafos about it. I just want to introduce one thought that maybe you have not considered, that maybe you can take with you for the rest of your lives. Because Moshe Rabbeinu tries to erect the Mishkan 7 times, and he fails 7 times. And we don't necessarily see that in the Pesukim, but we see it in the Medrash. And where do the rabbis in the Medrash get that idea? Maybe it's from a Pasuk in Mishlei. And this might be one of the oldest Pesukim in Mishlei we know. Ki Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam. What does Ki Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam mean? A tzaddik falls down 7 times. What does it mean that tzaddik falls 7 times? That a tzaddik, this righteous individual, has so much resilience, they're so committed, that they can mess up over and over and over again, and even though they messed up, they're going to continue to try. Right? That's fair? Yeah. Rav Hutner says that's not the way to understand the pasuk. He actually calls anyone who understands the pasuk that way an Am Haaretz, but I think that most people understand it that way. But Rav Hutner gets a letter from one of his Talmidim. It's letter 128 in the Igros Uksavim. This is the I think it's safe to say, the most famous letter from Rav Hutner, and if you've heard it before, you have to hear it again and again and again and again. Rav Hutner gets a letter from one of his Talmidim who says, Rebbe, I'm not doing so well. I'm failing. I'm not performing. I'm not davening well. I'm not learning well. I'm not doing so well with mitzvos. And I feel like a failure. I feel like I'm a mess. And what does Rav Hutner tell him? That's the best letter you ever could have sent. The fact that you tried and are not doing well, that's exactly what I want to hear. It would have been a good letter if you told me you were succeeding, but the fact that you tell me that you're failing, that makes this a great letter. Because he says, Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam, doesn't it mean that a tzaddik falls 7 times and still is able to get up? Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam means that in order to become a tzaddik, you have to fail 7 times. If you have not failed 7 times, you're not really a tzaddik. If you don't know what failure looks like, you haven't succeeded. However, when someone cheats on a test, and we're just using test as a small example, it's not because he's convinced that he's going to get an 83, but if he cheats, he's going to get a 90. People are worried they're going to fail. They're going to worry that they're going to entirely strike out, and that's why they start cheating. When you think you're going to get an F and you want to do better than an F, then you're going to look to cheat. But if you think you can succeed, even succeed a little bit, you usually don't turn to doing something that you know is wrong. I'm not trying to go through all the different elements of cheating, just one thought. When you cheat, you miss the opportunity to fail. And maybe we should fail. Maybe we should be okay failing once in a while. You might be familiar, I'm not just a Rebbe in this institution. I also run the academic services department, which means that I have an office next to Rabbi Cantor. We can yell back and forth to each other. But when someone fails, they'll come to my office. Sometimes people come to my office because they want animal crackers or they just want to schmooze. But sometimes people come to my office because they're trying and they're not doing well. And about 20% of our school comes through my door in one way, shape, or form. And I suspect about 40% of you guys should be coming. But there are about 20 guys who are not willing to admit that I'm not so good at this. Maybe I need a little bit of help in writing. Maybe I need a little bit of help in math. Maybe I'm not as organized as all my friends are, but I don't want to admit the fact that maybe I could be better. But unless you're willing to fail, unless you're willing to realize that you're not doing as well as you could, you can't get better. When I see someone's report card and it looks like they're not doing well in class, I call them into my office and we figure out how they can do better. But if he gets a 63 and you should have gotten a 63 but you cheated and got an 89, I don't know that you need help. And so you'll never get better. You'll never get the help that you need. And so cheating is really a failure to try. Cheating is a failure for you to get better. We're not in like some ruthless business where if you don't do well, your whole life is ruined. As someone pointed out, this is a very laid-back institution. If someone doesn't do well on a test, there are about 95 ways that you can go about getting your grade to improve. You guys are all aware of that. But instead of looking at that and saying, wow, there are so many ways that I can get better, instead, unfortunately, sometimes people say, oh, well, if it's a laid-back institution, I can do the wrong thing and probably get away with it. But what I want you guys to do is try. I want you guys to put in genuine effort and find out, maybe I can really do this, or maybe I can't. And this is the time, this is the place, when I'm in high school, in a supportive environment, where I can get better. I can fix the issues that I have. Chaim Brand wants to know what the Purim connection is. On Purim, we do something funny. Because Purim is all about the fact that there's something hidden, that Megillas Esther, that Esther means language of Hester, that this whole story of Kadosh Baruch Hu is hidden. We don't see a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name in the entire Megillah. And yet at the end of 10 chapters, it's so clear that a Kadosh Baruch Hu was running the show. Megillah from the Lashon of Giloy. Giloy means to reveal. Megillas Esther, Seder Chassidim. Megillas Esther is all about revealing that which was hidden. And so we put on masks and we eat humantashen. Why do we eat humantashen on Purim? That's like the most ridiculous thing to ever say. Haman wore a three-cornered hat, and that's why we eat humantashen on Pesach. Let's try this. Because there's a minhag to eat humantashen, there's also a minhag to eat kreplach. And both in humantashen and kreplach, there's something hidden inside. Purim is a holiday where we reveal that which was inside, that which is hidden. You know, psychologically, and I need 2 more minutes. Psychologically, it's fascinating. You can have a little kid, a 4, 5, 6-year-old, who's very nervous and shy, very reserved to themselves, and you want them to be expressive. You want them to be outgoing. And so what will happen is that psychologists will give that little kid a mask. He'll put a mask on. He's got a pirate mask on or something. And now he'll be in the center of the room, and he's flailing his sword, and he's the center of attention. He's the life of the party. What changed? By putting a mask on, feels like he can really express himself. He can be who he really is without the fear of someone judging him, without the fear of looking bad, of, if we will, a failing. On Purim, we put masks on because the goal of Purim is to reveal that which is hidden, to reveal who I am on the inside. But in this institution, in this place, in the Skokie Yeshiva, you don't need to put a mask on to show who you really are. There's no shaming if someone doesn't do well. There's nothing bad if you get a bad grade on a test, because if you don't cheat, that's when you're really able to succeed. That's when you're really, really able to find out who you are, and we can help you become the person that you want to be when that those two might not be the same. In the words of Michael Jordan, who quite honestly was not the really someone we want to model in many ways, but in terms of effort, there are few who surpassed him. Jordan told us that he missed more than 9,000 shots in his career. I've lost 300 games 26 times. I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed. Gentlemen, I'm not asking you not to cheat because it's wrong. I'm not asking you not to cheat because it's not fair to those who aren't cheating. I'm asking you not to cheat because when you cheat on a test, when you cheat in your homework, what you're really doing is cheating yourself from failing. And because when you fail, that's the best way to ultimately succeed. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Have a wonderful Kodesh. Thank you so much.